Hi, welcome to Crosstalk. I'm coming to you from South Florida. Crosstalk is the number one recovery podcast in the world, actually number one podcast of all time, anywhere and everywhere. You have to watch it. Just kidding. Please follow, like, subscribe to the channel. We're really trying to send a message of hope and that recovery is possible no matter how low you've gone. We want to make this accessible to everyone. If you have any suggestions, if you have any comments, questions, you need help, you have a loved one who needs help, reach out. We want to help you. You know, that's why we're doing this. If you want to be on the podcast and you're in recovery, reach out. Whether you're in South Florida or in New York, that's the requirement. Let us know. We love to hear from you guys. Today I have Brian. Thank you so much, Brian, for coming. So what we do on Crosstalk is we kind of go over, you know, your story and share what the journey's been like. What was it like before? How bad did it get? What did it look like? And then what happened that clicked and changed everything for you? I've known you for 8 years, but you've been doing this for a little longer. And I know you've helped so many people. You helped me. You were always a smiling face for me when I first came down to Florida. So tell us how you did it.
First of all, thanks for having me. This is an honor, you know. Any way I can possibly help somebody struggling or maybe not pick up a drink today, that's huge, you know.
Yeah.
And my sobriety date's March 29, 2011, so I have a little over 13 years sobriety.
Amazing. And you're not from Boston, are you?
Well, Worcester, but yeah, it's pretty distinct.
Yeah.
And I love the format because that's really what I like to do is tell my story and mainly about the recovery and how I was hopeless and now I'm not. You know? So, like I said, I'm from Massachusetts. The first time I drank, I was 14 years old. We went on a nice little family outing, Hampton Beach. We had a cottage on the ocean, and that was the first time I drank it. I went out and I drank way too much. Went back to the cottage. There was a couple families, you know, it was a big cottage, and I laid on the bed, and the bed started spinning. And I got up, and I threw up on my cousin on the floor, and I went out to the back porch, and I threw up till I was dry heaving. That night, I blacked out. And I woke up with a vicious hangover. I did that for 34 years straight. You know what I mean?
So did you have that feeling that a lot of people talk about that, you know, that feeling of like, this is it. This is what you want to do. Like, why did you choose to drink or use again, you know, after you threw up on your cousin on the porch, you blacked out, you know, what made you say, okay, this sounds fun, I'm going to do it again?
And, you know, that next morning I felt so bad. And I remember I was sitting on the boardwalk on the steps of the casino boardwalk in Hampton Beach. And all of a sudden, a seagull right on my pants, right?
Oh.
And they're like, so I'm hanging, I'm hungover. I feel worse than I've ever felt in my life. I got this big stain on my pants. I'm there like, can it get any worse? So, you know, I felt awful that next day. And I don't know, you know, if it was a week or 2 weeks or a month later when I started drinking again. But, you know, this was back in the late 70s. And then I kind of waited until I got into high school. You know, I was like a, you know, junior. And then we started drinking every weekend. And it was just like every time, drinking to black out, you know, drinking to throw up, drinking to for these fights and whatever it was, you know, because it was just a wild time, you know, and it was fun, you know, we all had a great time.
Right, right.
And so what ended up happening was all of a sudden I was 20 years old and I had been drinking alcoholically for 6 years already, you know, like already with like double digit blackouts, double, you know, just horrible. You know, I remember I was staying in, I had these two older aunts and an uncle, none of them ever got married. And they were living near where I used to hang around. And I got so drunk, I was like 16 years old. And I fell down and I cut my hand open.
Oof.
Right? And it was gushing blood. And they brought me back to my two aunts and uncle in a shopping cart, rang the bell and left. This was like, I was like 16 years old. I didn't even have a license yet. So they opened the door. They're like in their 60s and 70s. And like I was their precious nephew. And the next morning, I'm in pajamas. They had changed me, and they said, "Who were them people that did that to you?" But that's just the way it went. So you know, when then, so like I said, so now I'm out of high school. I got a union job in construction, and the construction workers back then just crying loud, you know. So it was just, and that's the way, you know, the family dynamics were. You know, all holidays, you know, driving in the car, mom and dad drinking, you know, that's just the way it was, you know.
Right.
So then I got the job in the union, and, you know, it was a great job, and I was drinking all the time. And plus, I had started doing cocaine, too, you know, so the combination of them, always drinking first, and then the other thing. So now I'm working in my 20s, and I, you know, I got married, I was 22, had a son, and, but I'm broke at the end of every week, you know what I mean? I'm going out after work, and it just, that's just the way I live my life, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know?
Was your wife a drinker as well?
Like a little bit, not like I did, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, when we got divorced after 3 years of marriage, I'm there like, wow, how could you do this to me? It took a long time to realize it was all me.
Right.
And so then, you know, and I'm a boss in this company, and I got like 20 guys working for me, and I'm drinking at lunchtime, and it's just, that's the way I live my life. So all of a sudden, now I'm 30 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking like 5 days a week. I'm drinking at lunch. I'm blacking out on the weekends. You know, I probably blacked out over 1,000 times in my lifetime. It's vicious.
But right.
My history. And
there were no consequences in your 20s, like DUIs or?
A couple, so I'm living in this big city, and I have one of the sergeants in the police force is working as a full-time union laborer and a full-time police officer. So just one quick story. Wow. I was like, you know, I don't know. My son was like 2 or 3, and we had just got divorced. It was Father's Day, and she wouldn't let me see. Probably a good reason, whatever. So I go out and get drunk. I'm in the bar room, and I'm falling off the bar stool like 6 o'clock at night. My elbows are bleeding. My knees are bleeding. And I got an old LTD station wagon with the fake wood on the side.
Oh,
and
God, I remember those.
It was a boat. So I'm driving, and the sun's still out, and I'm probably like, I am hammered, right? They tried to take the keys, and I just left, you know. No, you never wanted to ride. You always ended up driving drunk. I drove drunk so many times. And thank God I never, you know, injured.
Oh, well, me too. And I say that all the time. I should be in jail.
Right.
For how many times I've driven drunk. The fact that I haven't hurt someone, right, or taken someone's life or hurt my own, right, self is a miracle.
Right.
That's why it's so easy for me to believe in a higher power, right?
So now I'm driving down like a side road, you know, it's like a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit, and I'm speeding. And then there's a trade high school, and it's like a 90-degree turn. And I didn't make the turn. And I went up on the median, and I hit the pole. And I hit it so hard that I had a huge bruise on my arm. And I knocked the battery off the terminal. So now I'm in the middle of the city, right near the police department. And Worcester's a big city. And I try starting, it's starting, it won't start. I'll just walk home. So an alcoholic, I walked about 20 sit-ups, and I said, no, I'm going to go back and get this thing going, right?
Yeah.
So I'm there trying to start. Two cruisers pull up. I get out of the car, and I fall flat on my face drunk. And I go, either one of you guys got a set of cables so I can get out of here, right? And
That's so funny.
But what ended up happening was the sergeant, his son was working for me as a laborer, and he was best friends with the other sergeant. So he told the other police officer in the other car, a younger guy, he said, just take off, and I'll take care of this. And the guy said, what do you mean? He goes, just get out of here, because this guy was like a mean cop, you know? So I get in the car with him. I'm bleeding, and I'm starting to run my mouth. He said, hey, just shut the F up.
Right.
Or I'm going to bring you to the station. So I get up that next morning. It was in the summertime. My bed is covered in blood. I got to call the sergeant, who I used his name. I had to walk down there. That happened to be like 4 different times.
Wow.
So I could have easily had, you know, 10,
right,
20, 100, 1,000 DUIs, because that's how many times I drink, you know.
And you're lucky you knew someone.
Right. And that happened like 4 times.
Another wow.
Time was, and this is all in my 20s. It was Super Bowl Sunday, so we started drinking at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I hung around with a tough crowd, you know what I mean? It's in the city, a lot of cocaine, a lot of, you know, everything. And so it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had been drinking for like 14 hours, 16 hours, and all of a sudden I get pulled over right in front of the police station at like 2 o'clock in the morning. The guy comes up, he says, you know why I'm pulling you over? I go, I don't have any idea. He goes, you came around the corner, I was getting in my car, you almost hit me.
Wow.
I go, I'm good friends with so-and-so, here's my license. where it goes into his car, he comes back, throws the license in my face and said, okay, just drive home.
Wow.
But that was back in the, you know, right. the 80s when you could do that. Now I would have been arrested immediately. So I got off in my 20s at least 4 DUIs from situations like that.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So yeah. Now I'm 30 years old, right? I'm making $100,000 a year and I'm broke every week. Never bought a new car, never bought a new house. My life was just drinking, doing cocaine, gambling, and just being a complete menace to society. Being laid on my rent, you know, I'm making all this money, and I just didn't know anything else. It's all I know. So now I'm 30 years old. I've been drinking alcoholically for 16 years.
Wow.
My whole 20s and my teens. Blacking out, just such hangovers, because I would just mix the cocaine and the alcohol, not eat, go out and drink for 14, 16 hours. So people who know that, it was funny. I was golfing today with 2 sober guys and 1 who drank, right? And we golfed with this guy 2 weeks ago, and he hung over. And I says, and they made a comment. I says, you know what? I haven't had a hangover over 13 years. I love to hear when people have hangovers.
Yeah, isn't that great? Isn't that great? Yeah.
And 2 weeks ago, he was all banged up, you know, and I'm like, and that's not even close to what I was.
Yeah.
So then in my 30s, now, I'm still running these big union construction jobs. I got 20, 30 guys working for me. I'm drinking in the truck, you know, I'm coming in hungover on the weekends, I'm doing cocaine in the truck, and I'm just a menace to society. And I'm broke all the time, and I'm making huge money, and it just that's the way my life was. So now all of a sudden, I'm 40 years old now, and I've been drinking alcoholically and blacking out for 26 years.
Wow.
I mean, like, blacking out at least once a week for 20, for, you know.
Holy.
Yeah. And now I'm more hungover. You know, my life's getting more unmanageable. I'm more, you know, that progressiveness is now I'm drinking every single day.
Yeah.
And I'm 40 years old, you know, it's tough, you know? And this is where everything turned around. It was really bad then, but after I got sober, I put this on my timeline. I was 45 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I had met this woman, and I moved in with her. And I was with her for 1 year. I got passed out drunk every single night for a year.
Holy.
Every single night for 1 whole year.
Did you even know her?
Yeah, I know. Before I moved in with her, but we were just like complete alcoholic buddies, you know, and she was like this evil person. I wouldn't be with her for a day now.
Right.
But it was like my, you know, just that's the way it was, and so on.
Would you say that you maybe weren't so sweet either, or?
I absolutely wasn't.
Yeah, so it was toxic.
But I wasn't mean. I was just a drunk.
Right.
So what ended up happening was, so I've been with this construction company for the last 10 years. I've been working construction now about 30 years.
Uh-huh.
And I'm drinking all the time. So I put this timeline together after I got sober. So I was drinking after work, and I passed out at like 10, and I woke up at like 2:30 in the morning. I remember it vividly.
Yeah.
And I woke up and I opened my eyes. She was passed out. I went downstairs. She always left a half a glass of wine. I had that half a glass of wine, 2 beers. At 2:30 in the morning on a work night.
Yeah.
I had to get up in 3 hours. From that moment on, I was in a total obsession for 3.5 years from that moment. I didn't go 1 second 3.5 years where I wasn't either drinking or thinking about it.
Wow.
That's a merciless obsession right there. So when they read this book, you know, and the stuff in the big book, it's just amazing because it all pertains to me. You know, when they talk about that merciless obsession, I went 3.5 years. And so now I've been with this company, and now I'm starting to use prescription pills also.
Okay. So is this pain medication, stimulants, like what kind of?
Perks.
Okay.
And oxy.
So opiates.
Right.
What okay. Because I was into, I wasn't into opiates. Opiates actually, and I thank God,
right.
I did not like opiates. Otherwise, this podcast, at least I wouldn't be on this
right.
podcast.
Right.
But, you know, for me, opiates made me itch. And gave me an allergic reaction. I was really lucky.
Wow.
Yeah, I was literally really lucky. So that allergy is real.
It is. So now I'm doing cocaine on the weekends at least. And then I'm drinking every single day. And now I have a company truck. And I'm in that obsession. And now I'm near the end of this job because I'm getting ready to get fired.
How old are you? Sorry?
I'm 45.
45. Okay. So just ending with this woman, still with this woman.
I'm still with her, but
okay.
Not for much longer.
Okay.
So now I'm in this merciless obsession. So this is how bad it is. So I would have a nice coffee on the way to work. I had the company truck. And the only thing I'm thinking about is that next drink. I mean, I am just obsessed. So big, like, as bad as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So coffee time would come at 9 o'clock. My crew would all have their coffee. I'd fly to the convenience store and I'd get two big bottles of Mike's Hard Lemonade or Smirnoff Ice. And I would guzzle them down. It would take me the whole 20 minutes. Loaded, you know what I mean?
Oh.
It was horrible. And so then now I'm back
to you work. Really make me never want to drink again.
It's a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
I still got a few
ideas. Well, go slow. We don't want to rush through. We want to hear it all. Okay.
About all that recovery. That's amazing.
Yes, and I want to hear all about that recovery, too.
So now I've drinking this. It's 9:30. Now all I'm thinking about is going out at lunchtime, getting a pint of vodka.
Oh.
So now 11:45 comes. I sneak out. I go to the liquor store. We call it the package store in Massachusetts. I get a pint of vodka, a Gatorade, and I guzzle that down.
Mm.
I come back, I'm drunk, and I'm doing this, and I'm on this condo job with 200-300 guys, and I got 30 or 40 guys directly working for me.
Are you running any cranes, or?
I'm just like the labor foreman in charge of all the operators.
Okay, so the foreman.
The foreman in charge of all these guys, telling them what to do.
Okay.
Oh,
they must love you.
And they all knew it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But they were all my friends, because I had been working with them for 10 years. Yeah. That's going to be important. So now, what ends up happening, like maybe a month later, a new supervisor comes and says, hey, you got to stop drinking, you know what I mean? We can't have this. And so I go out, so I'm still with the same woman, and that night, before this happened, we went out and we ended up doing some cocaine and we stayed up all night on a work night, which I've done 100 times before.
Yep.
Not proud of, but just the fact, you know, because once you started, you can't stop.
Oh, trust me, I know. I stayed out for days. Forget overnight.
And so now I get up, and instead of getting that iced coffee, I made this big drink, big vodka drink at the house. Drank it on the way in.
Oh.
Then at coffee time, instead of the Mike's Hard Lemonade, I went and got some more vodka, and then I'm in a blackout. Next morning, I pull up to the job. So now this is the picture of it. I'm pulling up to this big condo job.
Yeah.
And all the guys used to stand around, and I pull up like the last minute. And as I pull up, two big bosses from Boston are there, right? Yeah, I mean, that's the look I have.
Oh.
And now I'm wearing the same clothes as yesterday.
Oh.
I'm just a mess. Kind of my pores is oozing that smell of a gutter drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, hey, what happened yesterday, Brian? I go, I have no idea what you're talking about. At noontime, in charge of 40 guys, what happened yesterday at noontime? Well, it was a landscaper, and he asked me to plant a tree. He used a backhoe to plant a tree, and I didn't like this guy because I was drunk, and I didn't
right.
like him anyway because I was so drunk at the time. And I got out of my car and grabbed a shovel and threw it at him.
Okay.
I was going to effing kill him, and then I drove off the job. I don't remember none of this. This is my coworkers I've been working with.
Wow.
He's telling me this. So, but this is where how bad the obsession was, right? So now I got the company's truck. I'm getting a big Christmas bonus, 2 weeks vacation. They tell me, if you drink again on the job, we're going to let you go. Now, you got to remember, for the last 6 months, I've been drinking at coffee time and lunch, coming in hungover, and drinking until I pass out.
Yeah.
That merciless obsession.
Yeah.
Only like 6 months into it, and I still got another 3 years.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And, so that day, I didn't drink at coffee time or lunch, and man, did I need a drink after work, you know what I mean? So I got drunk. Next day, I go, I didn't drink at coffee time, but I drank at lunch. You know, I'm in that merciless obsession. Nothing else matters but that next drink.
Mm-hmm.
My whole existence doesn't matter. All that matters is that next drink. And the next day, I'm drinking. And a week later, they come, give me two paychecks. I got to leave the company truck there. As humiliating as that was, and go around to these 20 guys I've been working with for 10 years. Hey, they let me go. You know what I mean? And they all knew it was because I was, you know what I mean?
So you missed out on the vacation,
yep.
On the bonus, and all of that.
Pickup truck. I drove everywhere.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay.
I haven't had that truck for 9 years.
So are you back to the station wagon with the wood paneling?
that is
I know. I'm just joking.
That's funny. And I think about that. Every time I went back to Massachusetts, every time I drove by that spot, I would think about it. So, no, I got a car, but it's nothing fancy. And I'm living with this crazy woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell her, I got laid off from a lack of work, and this is like the busiest company in Wynwood, you know?
Yeah.
So I go down to the union hall, and I hadn't been to the union hall in 10 years. And I walk in, and of course they had heard. I go, oh, they let me go because of a lack of work. And so on the ride there that morning, I needed to drink so bad, but I said, I can't drink going in there. So I go in there, I'm talking to the business agent, and he says, okay, just sign a slip. We'll sign a list, and we'll get you something. Because I was, like, really qualified as a site development supervisor.
Right.
Because that was a hard thing for laborers, and I had been doing it for so long, and I was really good at it, but alcohol was more important. So then at that moment, I remember it. So now I'm driving it. So get ready to leave. I sign my name, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm walking out, I look down, and all it was a scribble. I could not even write my name.
Wow.
I needed to drink so bad. It was just like chicken, like this.
Chicken scratch.
Chicken scratch, you know. So I get in the car, I go, I'm glad they couldn't see my name because I don't want to work. I just want to collect unemployment and drink, right?
Yeah.
I had been drinking, I've worked steady for 10 years. I just want to get a pint of vodka. Because I drank in the last 3 years, half pints, pints, nips, quarts. The smaller the bottle, the bigger the problem. That's what they say, and that was me. So now that relationship's almost over. Maybe another month goes by. And I'll tell you one story that happened with her. So now I lost a job, and I got this car, and I go on and I get a quart of 100-proof Smirnoff.
Uh-huh.
And I guzzle it down, and I tap on 45.
God.
Crash. And I make a turn, and in Massachusetts, you got granite curb, and I blew the two tires out on it.
You have, oh, grant a curb? Granite.
Right. Yeah,
okay. Well, no.
I'm sorry.
Normally I understand, but yeah, I didn't get that one.
And I made the corner, and I blew my two tires out, and her house was like, because I was living in her house, was like 2 miles away, 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and I just drove like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would have got arrested. This town was really tough.
Yeah.
I didn't have the sergeant at my back anymore. Them days were gone.
Yeah.
And so I remember I got back to her house and she was out. I passed out on the floor, in my pants. And all of a sudden, she's standing over me yelling like this.
Pulling up to the job with the owners or having her standing over you.
I can handle the other. So, and I'm hurting so much. I can't even talk, right?
Yeah.
It took me 2 days where I couldn't even, before I couldn't even go get the ties. So that relationship thing.
Right.
So then I'm hopeless. You know, I'm hopeless. I'm drinking. Now that I've been out of work for a couple of months, I'm just drinking around the clock. I still got like 3 more years. I'm already possessive. On my arm, it's all bruised from the poison trying to get out of my body.
Wow.
And now I'm just barely eating.
Okay? Like, you know, when you see people with that red nose. And
so a little further in the story, I'll tell you how bad it really got and why I have so much gratitude today and why I'm so vigilant with my program and why I help people. Mm-hmm. Why I think I'm a good fit for this podcast.
Yeah, you're a great fit, and I call you Gratitude Brian. You're saved in my phone as Gratitude Brian, because you know you are filled with so much gratitude,
and now you understand why.
I mean, yeah,
and
it's not even as at its worst.
So
wow,
it's time to come down to Florida. My mother's down here, my son's living down here. My son was in his 20s, early 20s. He had been down here for a few years, and my mother had been down here for over a decade.
Yeah.
And he hadn't seen me in a couple of years, but they had been hearing these phone calls, how this woman was in my life, and they knew that I was in trouble, you know? So I leave Massachusetts, I crack a beer in the driveway, and I drank the whole way. That's a long drive from Massachusetts to Florida, drunk the whole way.
Wow.
Honest about it. So I finally get down there, right?
You are a lucky man.
So I get to Florida.
And everyone who came into contact with you is very lucky, yeah, too.
Yeah. So I get to, and everything I'm saying is 100% true.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving a lot of stuff out. There's no way I have it.
Oh, I leave things out all the time, and I was drinking for half the time.
Right. So now I get to Florida. I meet my mom and son at the restaurant. I haven't seen them. And in that lap, before I came down, I had fallen out of bed a couple of times. I had two black and blues on my face. Falling on my face out of bed. I got bruises on my arms. My skin started turning yellow. And I'm looking at them drinking a beer and they're just horrified. Their eyes are like this.
Yeah.
What happened? And I still got a couple years left. So then I have dinner and now I'm staying down there and I had a little bit of money and whatever. So that money ran out and I was in the union and I had quite a bit of an annuity.
What does that mean?
Annuity. Every hour I would work, they would put it into a special account.
Okay.
And then it's like a 401k.
Okay.
Like now it's $10 an hour they take. But back then it was a couple hours an hour. So I had like $140,000. Now I'm out of money. year and a half. I probably got another year to drink. Take that money out, right? I pay the taxes. I get a little under 100,000. I buy a car for like 10 or 15 grand, and I got like 85,000. I went through that in 9 months.
Wow.
But you know what? I never regret it because that got me to my rock bottom. So now, but you got to put yourself in the position of my mother and son. I'm holding up at hotel room age, right?
And how old are you?
I'm 47.
Oh my God. I don't know if that's worse than still living with your parents or.
Well, I end up moving in with my mother. You know, at the end. So after that 3-day run, I'd look at my phone, there'd be 100 messages. I thought I'd be dead.
But, yeah.
And, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So now we'll jump. So that went on for like a year. So now we'll jump to the last year of my life. Now I'm 48 years old. And I am destroyed from now on. I'm getting up in the morning, crawling into the bathroom and laying on the tiles to get the coldness from the tiles before I throw up yellow bile, go out and start drinking. I did that for one full year. I would go to the liquor store that opened at like 8:30, the earliest one, and they would come in and open the light. I'd open the door to my car, go up, go and get a pint of vodka. One,
wow.
Throw up, two, throw up, three, drink, and pass out. I like it. You know, hitting runs, falling asleep at red lights. And I think this is a funny story. So my mother was working like 3 or 4 days a week. So if she wasn't working, I couldn't go back to the house. Now I'm living with her that last year. So now I need a place to go. You know where I used to go around noontime when I was ready to pass out?
Uh-oh. I thought you were going to say an AA meeting.
No, I wasn't ready for that. So I would pass out, and I'd wake up, and these old guys would be looking at me like, and I did that for a while.
Wow, yeah.
I had 3 hit-and-run accidents on military. People with red lights at 5 o'clock. I was just such a hopeless alcoholic. So now, I got like 6 months before I stopped drinking, and my family didn't know about treatment or detox, so they sent me to a And I remember this like yesterday, you know, and this is back in 2011. My mother driving me down to Fort Lauderdale, drinking a pint of vodka. This will be the last time I ever drink. And I've just put my mother and son through 3 years of devastation.
Yeah.
They're going to bed every night thinking I'm going to die. I was a hopeless gutter drunk.
Yeah.
You know, just that last year I couldn't eat more than a pint of vodka.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
That's why my body was shut down. And,
Your body was living off that alcohol.
Yeah. And that's why I had all the bruises. But now my skin's yellow. I'm pre-cirrhosis. You know, I'm just dying.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm miserable. I've been miserable for 3 years now.
I can't believe you lasted this long. So I mean, I don't think I've cringed so much on this.
It's crazy. Ah. So then so she brings me down there. And I remember I get out of the car. I'm a 48-year-old man sitting on the steps for a lot of crying. Because I didn't want to stop drinking, you know? So I go in there, they give me a breathalyzer, it's like 0.3 something. I got to sleep on the couch that night. And you know what? I was there for 5 days. I ate a couple meals. I was sleeping. You know, before that, I couldn't even take a shower. I'd just stand in the shower and put a little shampoo in my hair. And because I couldn't bend over, I'd fall over. You know?
Yeah.
And so I get out of there, I'm feeling good. 3 hours later.
Oof.
I kind of had enough pain and stuff. I kind of reached that gift of desperation, and I was just struggling so bad. So now I've won like another 2 months. So now, again, family gets together. Decision is, let's bring them back to the detox again, and this time I'll go to a halfway. Do that. Go to the halfway house. Day 2. Take a guess what?
You start drinking. Oh, my God.
So now we're coming up. Now we're talking probably January, February of 2011. I'm just biggest hopeless gutter drunk in America. I'm one of them original hunters.
Oh my
God. I've been drinking now. I've been in a merciless obsession for over 3 years.
Oh my God, imagine yeah.
There was never a second. I would wake up at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and in a position crying because I didn't drink so
much. Oh my
so
God.
On March 28th, 2011.
You must have been so suffering.
Oh, that's why I have so much gratitude. And like, okay, I'll just get off this for 1 second. So I went to a meeting like a year ago.
Yeah.
And I had never been there before. I shared this whole time 40 years ago. You had such a bad rock bottom drinking history because with that share, I know you did. Because I could tell. I go, yeah, I did. So now, March 28, 2011, I get up in the morning. I fall on the floor. I'm laying in the bathroom. My pants are probably wet from the night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm throwing up. And I'm dying. You know, I'm just so miserable.
Yeah.
I don't have much time left on this earth. You know, and
I want to cry almost.
Yeah, well, but again, it's getting ready.
I know. That's why I'm not crying.
We're at the end of the bad stuff. Yeah. You know? So I go out and I'm drinking more that morning. I go back to my mother's house and I'm flat on my face. I walk in, I fall flat on my face. She just starts bawling. She can't put up with it no more. We're supposed to go for my uncle's birthday. She goes, that's it. And she leaves. Can't come with us. So I call my son. He's 25. Justin. He's at this pool hall. I'm waiting for 4 o'clock. 4:30 comes outside. Inside my Brooklyn Sable. Comatose. Drenched to the bone. And he can't wait. He thinks I'm dead. Mm-hmm. He's got to call the cops and the ambulance. He's got to help pull me out of that car. So the guy, the cop that came was a friend of his. He had been down.
Okay.
So the cop says, hey, why don't you bring his car home and your mother can go to the hospital with him. Son takes the car to my mother's house. And all that vodka I was drinking and all them other things that I was drinking, I used to throw them on the back seat and have a beach towel. And it was up to the top of the seats, empty, right?
Oh.
And he filled up two of the biggest garbage bags we have with empty. I said, oh, they would never know. I'm in Florida. Here's a beach towel. That's how delusional I was. And when I got out of treatment, I seen them. I go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So now I get to the hospital. His girlfriend at the time, his mother was a really bad alcoholic. So that's how she told him, you got a paper act. So my son, paper act. So then I was unconscious.
So I just want to explain what a Baker Act, okay, for someone who doesn't know what that is, because we're in Florida and we have something called a Baker Act here, which means that when you Baker Act someone, you are basically committing them to a psych ward for a two-day hold, I believe it is, 2 or 3 day hold, yeah. because they're a danger to their own life, right? So I know in other states it's like a 501 or this and that, I don't know, but you know, over here it's called the Baker Act, and that means you're going to the psych ward.
Right, because I was suicidal, I didn't know it because I was killing myself drinking.
Well, yeah.
Right. So I come to after being unconscious for a few hours, and this is gonna be important for this story in a little bit, so I come out, I walk out of the thing and I'm banged up, need a drink, and look at my mother and son and like against that wall, and they just bawl in their eyes. I'm that hopeless, gutter drunk. There's no solution. I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
You know, they're almost saying like they're laughing.
Right.
You know. So they put me on suicide watch that night, across from the nurse's station. And I'm just rocking and rolling. So bad. They probably gave me a little something. So then in the morning they come and they pick me up in a van, they bring me to St. Mary's Psych Hospital. And now I'm in the processing room. You know, I got a good memory of how much
I know.
I was in.
Yeah.
I'm on the couch in the fetal position for the last time. I've been in the fetal position hundreds of times over the last few years. I'm in the fetal position in this processing room, throwing up, shivering, I'm sweating.
All of it at once.
All at once. And then the nurse who was in charge comes out and she looks at me. She goes, oh my God, you look horrible. She just couldn't help it. It came out. Right? You know, that's how bad I was.
Yeah.
So
it sounds like I'd be like that nurse.
Yeah. So I go upstairs. They start to detox me. I spent three or four nights.
Yeah.
And now I'm feeling okay. Another van comes and gets me and it brings me to for 28 days. I go in that treatment day, first day. They're all younger, you know. Like,
oh, I know.
It's like 50 people, and it's like 5 alcoholics and depressed, and they're all messing around, and I'm like pissed off.
Wait, but then at this point in the end, you're just drinking alcohol. You're not doing any perks and stuff. No, you can't afford it. You can only afford alcohol.
Yeah. So, and maybe I'll have time to tell this a little later on in the story.
Yeah.
So I go in that first week, horrible. You know, I'm in such bad shape. I can't even walk from here to the door.
Yeah.
I'm taking a break. I remember they at the detox at the treatment center when they brought me there from the psych hospital. There was a basketball hoop. Shot the basketball.
Yeah. Oh God, that's like me.
And then I
that's like me today.
So then, you know, I started a little bit. The first 2 weeks, I'm still going back to Boston. Still going to get that union job. I'm going to get another girlfriend.
Oh.
And, but listen.
That's so, like me in my apartment. Right. I'm going to decorate it in my with my arrow bed with the hole in it.
So now I'm on that my final voyage. If I go back, I'm not coming back.
Right.
And then like week three, I decided to stay. You know, I was so angry in that treatment center. I was so miserable. And, you know, but I'm starting to feel a little better. You know, I haven't drank in like 4 or 5 weeks. So I get out of there, and they kept on saying, go to a meeting, go to a meeting. Now, this is where the miracle starts. So I think I qualify as an alcoholic.
Yeah. I mean, I never understood this qualify thing. You know, if you're an alcoholic and you say so, well, I believe you. You know, I.
So now they kept on saying, go to a meeting, go to a meeting. So I look it up and this 7 a.m. meeting. I don't know if I can say where it is or whatever.
You can say whatever you want.
So it's at Crossroads, 7 a.m. in Delray. And it's my home group today, one day at a time. It has been.
It's an amazing place.
The whole 13 plus years I've been going there.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
Wow.
So, and remember I said how miserable I was for 3.5 years. I wasn't happy one day. So I walked in this meeting, and I'm just getting out. And remember, the 2 times I was in detox, I went out drinking right away. So if I didn't go to the right meeting, and I drank again, I wouldn't be alive today. So I'm walking down this meeting. It happened to be the last Friday of the month.
Oh, anniversaries. Okay.
So
that's always a hopeful place to be.
So I'm walking down the hallway. I hear all this chatter and noise. I'm there like, what's going on in there, you know? And it's like 10 minutes to 7, quarter up. I walk in, there's already like 80 people.
Yeah, like it's a big meeting.
Quarter seven, and there's 14 people receiving medallions, so it's an hour of joy and happiness and recovery. So I sit near the back of the room, and then from 10 minutes of 7 to 7 o'clock, 150 people pile into this room. Brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, sponsors, everybody's dressed up, they're hugging, they're happy. Nothing that was all foreign to me. I
right.
know nothing about none of this.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and they're like, wow, this is pretty amazing, you know? And then the first woman gets up, she's like 22 years old, and she picks up a one-year medallion. Her mother and father are there, and her sponsor was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then a guy the same age. But what was even more important, what happened after them two? A 50-year-old guy picked up a medallion. That gave me hope. That gave me a solution right there, right? Which I really needed so badly.
Well, so many people think that, like, oh, well, he's 50. What is he going to do now? You know, like, you know, I have a friend, and he's in his 40s. And I always tell his parents, I'm like, you know, he can still get help. No, you know, he's in his 40s. He'll never, he it's over for him. And I'm like, it's not. I know people in their 60s, in their 70s, who, and then they have the best years of their lives, you know?
I just had the best 13 years of my life. Right now.
I can imagine. I've had the best years of my life, you know?
And so he picks up the year, and there's, after that, there's 11 more. So there's an hour of joy and happiness. It turned out to be the second best day of my life besides my son being born.
Oh.
That meeting saved my life.
Yeah.
So I walked out of there, and I had like this little feeling like maybe someday I can have a kid back, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm remembering this like it was yesterday.
I remember my first meeting at Crossroads. Well, second meeting, I should say. First AA meeting at Crossroads. It was a 7 a.m., you know, one day at a time meeting, and I felt the same way.
Right. It was amazing.
At first, I was like, who are these people? Right. And then my second thought was like, okay, I kind of like that, you know.
I was fortunate. The first
yeah.
So I went back to
Brian,
like 15 guys.
Yeah.
Yep. That first 3 months of my sobriety, 48, almost 49 years old, first 3 months I was going to like 3 days a day, carrying around a big book. Every day was getting better. Then all of a sudden, I picked up a 30-day chip, and I hadn't gone 30 days since I was 14 years old. 34 years it took me to get 30.
And you had more days, really, because four to 5 weeks you were in treatment. Right. So you had more time.
Right. It was like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I picked up a 30-day. And then I picked up the 90-day, and that was a real 90-day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, I just remember like yesterday was, I was like on cloud nine.
That's awesome.
And when you think about it, 90 days without a drink, in most of society, that ain't a big deal. But when you go 34 years without even close,
Yeah. For any alcoholic, that's an incredible. That's incredible.
Right. So what was amazing was that. So then, after like 4 months, I had to humble myself, right? And I had to get a job. And I couldn't go back to Mass and get that big union job, maybe $40-$50 an hour, get another girlfriend because I wouldn't have made it. I mean, I needed to stay. I needed everything. So I listened to what it said in the big book, what everybody told me. I got a job at the Palm Beach Kennel Club, cleaning dog kennels and landscaping. Nobody spoke English. I humbled myself.
Yeah.
I remember, I was working out picking weeds.
You must have been like, were you miserable or were you happy?
I was happy.
Of course, you weren't miserable.
I was working 7:30 and going to 5:30 meeting.
Yeah.
And it was great. And then all these, and now I'm still in the first 6 months and I'm not over analyzing nothing. I'm keeping it really simple. Going to meetings every day, change everything, and life is getting better. I'm not even into that. I know something's helping, but I don't.
Yeah.
So, then I met a business agent for the Laborers Union down here at a double speaker meeting at like 5 months sober. And I got in the Laborers Union down here because they were doing a nuclear power plant. And so I wouldn't suggest it for a lot of people, but I ended up at 6 months. I started to work 6 days a week, 12 hours a day.
Right.
But this is, so it was up in Stewart. I was living in Jensen Beach.
Uh-huh.
I was working at the nuclear power plant. This was my schedule for 5 months. 6 days a week, I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Do my little prayers and everything. Go to work. Get out of work. Go to a 7 o'clock meeting. I was getting up at 4 a.m. and I went to a 7 o'clock meeting every single night. Never missed one.
Wow. So you did a morning meeting and an evening.
No.
You couldn't. 6 o'clock. Right. Yeah.
I was doing my prayers and thanking God. You know?
Your prayers.
Yeah. My prayers. and then people would say to me, "You're falling asleep in the meeting. Look at you're exhausted." I go, "Listen. I haven't missed a meeting. I haven't drank in 7 months. I'm going to keep on doing this, right?" And it was funny because I travel for work for quite a while if I have time.
I remember when I first met you, you were traveling for work.
You know, they had a sign, Fellowship Hall in downtown Stewart, right at the circle in West Downtown. All the place. Kind of desk. Big sign. More I miss meeting, more I'm going to be sitting here. Damn right. I'm not missing drinking and I'm not missing meetings. I'm going to keep every single day.
Yeah.
So I didn't miss a meeting for the first time working out.
Yeah.
So we'll jump forward. Now, this is amazing. This is an amazing day.
Look how happy you are. I mean, you can't make this up.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, all these people that were at this, because that morning meeting, every day back.
Yeah, and there's, there still is a lot.
It's a full house. All these people see the miracle. I was so thankful. Man,
yeah.
And they heard from my shares. Now everybody in the room is, excited.
Yeah.
Ready to get up there.
Yeah.
And, so my sponsor had all these things he wanted to say. Remember, it broke down.
I know your sponsor.
Right? That emotional bond. The miracle of me being alive still. And so now I'm standing up there. Down. Look down at it. Full house. First four rows open. Tears of joy and happy.
Right? Yeah.
And I looked at them. Remember a year earlier when they were in that immersion, thinking I was going to die that night? Now a year later. And I looked at them, and as they were crying and smiling, and I felt really happy for it. It was great for AA. I was.
Yeah.
Fellowship,
Yeah.
And I looked at them, and I looked down at them again, and I didn't find me. That's what I got.
Yeah.
And I go, what a blessed gift. And so then, for my mother, she went to my anniversary meeting every year for 7 years. And then I was working up in Pennsylvania. I came down.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting down. She only had left. And the gift of the program never had with her. And every day, she would be there. Her recline with a little thing. I said,
I love that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And the thing is people don't understand how recovery in A is family, right? So this woman went 7 years, she didn't have to wake up every morning crying.
Yeah.
And when she ended up passing away way too young, went on her term. She didn't lose any sons.
Right.
And then, on the other hand, her son, he's going to be 39. We've been best friends for 13 years. He hasn't had to tell everybody that comes in his life about that.
Yeah.
So my son and mother is grateful for AA.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And so that was a pretty, you know, pretty good first year.
And your son doesn't have any issues with addiction or anything?
No,
yeah.
He's drank in the past, but he's been in the program.
He's in the program?
Yeah, so he's doing well.
Oh, okay.
But he has his own program.
I wasn't sure if, of course.
So, you know, and that works for both. And he's in real estate down here, he's doing great. And,
good.
Just, you know, how bad life would be.
Yeah. That's what they said to me. I needed a blood transfusion in detox, and they were just like, what have you been living on?
Right.
Like, you know, my skin was gray.
Right. Yeah. So pretty similar, you know.
Yeah.
And, that's like
except mine was not as many years as you. I can't believe you went so long.
Yeah. It's crazy. I can't believe it either.
That's incredible.
And when they say in
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just,
right.
I have a story.
Oh, for sure. Know, for sure.
Because of the miracle of my recovery, how good it is, how many thousands.
Yeah.
Like now, I go to the morning meeting, shake everybody. I remember their name. Hey, great.
When I go and I don't get to see you, I texted you last time. I'm like, I ran out, but you know, I wanted to say bye, you know, because I feel like you are a pillar and someone who helped me so much, you know.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you asking. And I remember, like, we were talking about when I think it was still like around a year society or something. Maybe not, maybe.
Yeah.
But I spoke at a meeting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I get in there and I don't know anybody. And then right before the meeting, I see you there. This big smile.
Right.
You look so happy. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when I was done sharing. And that's the gift of the program. I've seen so many people under 13 years. Like, how much time do you have?
So it'll be 8 years.
And you look so much better now.
Oh, my God. So thank you.
And so the miracle of the program, and it just makes me so happy to see that. And, like, when you go get your medallion, it's like,
yeah.
I know thousands of people. And so I'll take that.
No, please. You have. We're not rushing. I don't want you to feel rushed in any way.
No. So, I kind of wrapped up 34 years. Pretty good. I got 13 years.
Yeah.
So, 3 years.
And I love just to say that you're outlining it because I really tell people, tell me what the first few years like. And for you, I guess those middle years and what you do now, because those first years of sobriety are very different from what you're doing now, I'm sure.
But it's, I'm still doing the same things my first year, but it is 100%.
Right, of course.
So I was up in Stewart and down in Homestead all the way to the south. But I went back and forth for 2 years. Place had two home groups down in Homestead, two in Stewart. All right. I had six home groups.
Were you voting in all of them? You're not supposed to.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I called them my home groups.
Yeah. Right, of course.
You know,
I'm just joking.
I'm still going to meetings all the time. And so then, all of a sudden, we're at end, right? I got 3 years of trying to help, and there's no more work in union. And I got like 20 years, a little over 20 years. And so now I'm going to go back up the past. And I'm going to travel for work 6 months a year, live down here.
Yeah.
And now make a lot more money, get benefits, and be able to retire.
Right.
And I just had a year and a half for 30 years in the union,
mm-hmm.
where I wouldn't even have been alive.
Amazing. Yeah.
So what happened was January 28th, 2008, I was driving to Moline, Illinois. This is an amazing story. I don't care what anybody says. I've told it a million times. I still have the same car I own.
Okay.
And I had a big dent in the front from a blackout. Never fixed. 3 years, like a badge of coverage. I'm not fixing that. I don't ever do that.
You still have it today? No, oh, at that time. I was like, wow, that car is really.
So, 3 years. Now I got a draft only in Illinois. 2 days. But now, the difference is, 3 years earlier, I was driving around in a car. I'm like, was losing. People say, so it's nothing worse than not, like somebody laying in his car. That's what I said.
Yeah.
So now I'm trapped and miserable. So now 3 years later, everything's perfectly good. I'm on a meeting at once back, wherever. I still do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to 4,000
people. Yeah. Everything. Right.
Never said, you know, driving in that car 2 days. Last day of my drink, 3 years later, and I'm all time. Does that make sense?
Yes, you know, it does.
I was just like happy the whole time.
Yeah.
Because I'm going on a new event. I was in my comfort zone for 3 years. Now I got to go SLAA.
Right.
Around the country.
Yeah.
And so I get to home in Illinois on like Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. It's my anniversary. 3 years. So I find it was before the meeting died after.
Yeah.
I this meeting. I already had a line. But I get there. Like in the inner city, only in Illinois, like a really gritty meeting, homeless people, drug addicts, is out.
Right. Like
100 people, 30 minutes, a bunch of people pick up, right at home. I felt like this is where I'm on.
Yeah.
And then it's anybody's anniversary, it's 3 years. Now, this is the first time I haven't crossed
right.
a meeting, and I'm just trying this new thing on the road. So,
oh, I love that. And I bet I can guess what you said for your 30 seconds. Every morning I start my morning with gratitude.
I haven't said it yet. You took it away from me.
Okay. Oh, no.
So, and then they gave me a medallion.
Yeah.
3 year medallion.
Yeah.
No, this is, like, usually I start all my shifts. I woke up in the morning, I opened my eyes, and I wasn't in a fetal position crying. So every day when I wake up,
yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
100. And then what am I going to do? Help another sick alcoholic? How am I going to make my survive? Okay. Put my head on the pillow. Usually about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm in my 60s. You know? And that's a miracle. I'm in my 60s, you know?
Yeah.
And, I say, God, put my head on.
Yep.
I'm sleeping in a minute.
And you must be the most grateful person I know.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And they call me gratitude Brian all the time. You know,
right.
They never introduced me. But I was attitude. That's a new company.
Yeah.
There's happiness.
And that was, and you know, that was the biggest thing when I remember when I was sitting on my porch in treatment center and I was like, how am I going to be happy? How am I going to live? Like, what's life going to look like? You know, yes, I wanted to stop drinking and stop doing drugs. But I was like, what? Wait, you know, wait a minute, you know, excuse me. How am I going to live? And I think now my thought is, how was I living? Which I wasn't. I was surviving, you know. I always talk about how I was like this hollow person. I would like walk and drive through New York as if like I was a ghost, you know, because I was. I was like this like gray ghost.
Yeah.
And
disgusting.
Oh my God. I mean, I would check my debit card because I only ate once a week, so I had to figure out when was the last time I ate. Yeah, imagine. And it's so important, and that's why this is so important, is because, you know, some people think of alcoholics as just homeless people or as just, you know, and it's like, no, like you were a union guy, you grew up in a good family, you grew up well, you know, but look, you know, alcohol is insidious. Right. It alcohol and drugs do not discriminate. They do not discriminate. They don't care how rich, poor, you know, color, you know, not color, gender, no gender, you know, white, yeah, da, da, nothing. It's so none of that.
And another thing is,
please. Yeah. 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 Oh. Yep.
You know what I mean? So
right.
I stopped talking about alcohol.
Right.
You know, pop, April 7, 5, 1, 1 every 2
But also stopping the, you know, not just meetings, because I think that there's so many people who never went to meetings right. who are sober, but they make their sobriety right. so right. important.
However you do that.
Yeah. So it's more than just that. It's like they stop connecting with people. Right. Right. Right.
To see what's going on with somebody who's doing good.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And or not doing good.
I have so many good memories about. I remember I went to Beehawk. I used to 6 weeks, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sit there and I'd say, I was in this same seat. This is, you know, this is where I'm at. So, like, at the end of the meeting, like, 5 or 10 people staying off. The other people, I remember there was a line of, like, people. End of the line.
Yeah.
Everybody had left.
Yeah.
And I got hundreds of.
I mean, helping another someone who's either alcoholic or drug addict or whatever it is, you know, helping someone who needs recovery is kind of the best thing ever. You know, it feels good. It, you know, it does something for you. It does something for you.
And especially me, I'm so loud and enthusiastic, great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, most people aren't like.
Yeah.
I'm not saying people don't feel it, but I really get carried.
Yeah.
You know?
In a great way.
But so many people, man, I remember. You
know? Yeah.
And so I go to this meeting and there's.
Yeah.
Thanks. I needed that. You know,
yeah.
I've been hearing these same so nice, you know? And so there was a woman in. She was doing great. You know, a little bit. Then I had to give her a pump. And after that pump, at the end, when everybody was holding hands, pulling her.
Oh.
She was a school teacher. His husband's not talking. So let's go talk about it.
Yeah.
Hey, I was where you were. And then all of a sudden, she had a couple of meetings. And it was, she got a huge smile on her.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? She felt hugs. And almost squeezes the air out of her. 3 months. Everything's so, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I had anything to do with it.
But you may have.
Her,
you yeah.
Know what I mean? No. She was just so happy that.
But you did have something to do with it, and it's okay to say that.
Yeah,
I mean, you
yeah,
did.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, but so
and you help people so much, you know, not only in your energy, but with your stories, with the knowledge you have of, hey, like, can you not drink tonight? Come back tomorrow. Like, you almost know how to, like, explain to them how it works, right, type of right. thing, you
yeah,
know?
And I walk in and respect my program and newcomers. You know, they come up to me and they shake, you know, I shake the hand and everybody.
Yeah.
And so another story, which I think is really
yes. No, not at all.
So this one, so I'm back in Nashville, up in this meeting right outside of Bristol.
Yeah.
And I'm going to this meeting.
Yeah.
When COVID was going on, they were having a meeting with no mask, right?
Right. Oh, God, yeah.
Care,
yeah.
You know, okay,
so, Florida.
So, right before I left Victoria, I was near the end of my drink. My motor was gone in my drink. I didn't have any money for the week. I ordered my way. She was holding me. I knew that she like 2 hours.
Right.
Looking in the car, under the cushion, behind stuff. I find a quarter. I'm so happy.
Right.
48 years old. So now the problem is, I've got all this. I'm going to walk a mile and a half.
Right.
In the middle of the heat.
Oh.
I get there, drink the thing outside the store, pass out halfway home. Then I get back there, and I suffer for 2 days.
Yeah.
And so, like a year later, I get back. Guy raises his hand, a younger guy. I just want to thank the grateful guy.
Okay.
It was the grateful guy.
Yeah.
I want to thank the grateful guy. A year ago today, today's my anniversary. A year ago today, maybe it was going to be over. I was going to go all find crack. He told this story.
Right.
I did, and I'm picking up.
That's awesome.
You know, how your story.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
You know, right there,
and I hope, yes, you know, exactly. That's right.
And then I'll tell you one more.
Because I want to ask you something afterwards.
Okay, this will be my last story. I could tell you 100 of them.
I know.
So, the last time I'm traveling,
yeah.
And it's in the wintertime, dreary, and this thing I was going to bring this people to 15 beds.
Yeah.
You know, drug addict.
Yeah.
And so I spoke Saturday and I just for 29. This is my first AA meeting ever. I haven't seen my three kids in a while. And, you know, I just really appreciate your message. So 4 days later, I go into the meeting that they used to go, but I haven't seen her before. First time
back. Yeah.
I walk in and she's three friends. She sees me walking the door. She jumps up. She turns over. I just want to let you know I'm just, everything's so good.
Right? Yeah.
You know?
You're like, oh, this is just the beginning.
Yeah, this girl was just so hopeless a week ago.
Yeah.
So I went into that day like 5 or 6 times. Every time she would jump up and tell me,
okay. Yeah.
So it's the last day I'm in town again. It's like always something.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So now I have a question. If you could tell your younger self something, you tell me what age it would be, right? What do you picture in your mind when you're having this conversation with your younger self, and what would you say?
Yeah, you know, that's a challenging question, you know, because it would have been right off the bat, you know what I mean? I had it the whole time I was like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my whole life. So what the secret I think is, doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter because I came in when I came.
Right.
So like all these people I talk to and people that my sponsors and everything, doesn't matter. Just looking forward one day at a time. I can't look back and say, hey, 2 houses, I should have $1 million in the bank. You know, I would have started the first day I drank.
Yeah, of course, you know, of course.
So, you know, I would have probably still been married. You know?
Yeah.
I would have had other kids. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would have
had
all this.
Yeah.
So what happened? Everything came. Who to resent? So that day, I leave it in today.
Yeah.
And I every day, every morning I wake up, I'm waking up, and people, well, I don't wake up like that. I go, well, that's great. I do.
Right.
You know, I'm
yeah.
Every day I wake up, I'm alive, and I don't. Section it.
Amazing.
I'm always wondering what. So by me coming over here on the holiday weekend, this is what I need.
Yeah.
And hopefully some people that are watching this are going to say, wow, this is pretty cool.
And
this
I appreciate
really,
it.
This guy's really enthusiastic about it.
You are, and I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for coming. And I know that this will help people, and I'm just so grateful to you.
And I want to congratulate you on your beautiful sobriety and giving back doing this talk.
Thank you. Fantastic. We love it, and Corey loves it, and, you know, we're doing our best. We just got to do our best. All right. Well, give me a hug.
You made my day.